Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. You even raised the subject of the true church. And the first objections you are going to hear, and I guarantee you, you will hear them, will come from your fellow Christians. How dare you even suggest that there's such a thing as the true church? Now, why are those objections raised when Scripture seems to have a clear idea that there's such a thing as a true church? There's certainly such a thing as false churches. So why the objections? And if there is such a thing as the true church, can we say where it is? And does that mean that we can say who's a member of the true church? Joining us to answer the question, where is the true church? Pastor Jeff Hemmer, he's pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fighting Words. Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Why do so many Christians object to the very idea of a true church?
Because to say that that a church is true implies that there is also something false. There's something purporting to be the church that is not really the church. And that's a kind of divisive thing to say, a divisive thing to believe, to say that not everything taught from a supposedly Christian pulpit is really true. That's just hard to swallow for anybody, really, but especially in an age where everybody is very relativistic. You can have your truth, and I can have my truth, but if you're going to suggest that there's one true church and that some churches are false or some preachers are false, that's just highly offensive to people who want to believe that, well, we're all kind of the same. If we all confess the same creed, if we all go to church on the same morning, if we all, you know, we all read the same Bible, we must all be part of the same church. We must all be part of one big true church.
Okay, so by saying, and we'll get to, you know, saying where this is here in a moment, but by saying that we can identify where the true church is, are we saying that we can identify who in particular are members of that true church?
Yeah, that's a great question. Maybe we need to take a step back and ask what the point of speaking about the true church is. But we can't, so to answer your question briefly, we can't tell who is part of the true church. I mean, the Augsburg Confession states that that the church is the assembly of the saints, and that you can't see. You can't know by looking at a person whether he is truly a Christian or not. You can see the evidence that would flow from his having genuine faith delivered and preserved by the Holy Spirit in the way that he says yes to God's gifts, in the way that he avails himself of the opportunities to receive God's word and God's sacraments. And you can see the way that he lives in love towards his neighbor. He lives in repentance for his sins his whole life long. You can see that evidence, but there's also people who put on a good show. And you can't, without being able to peer into a heart, you can't know whether a person is truly part of the church or not, whether he really has true faith.
Now, you say in your article that we can see the church with our ears. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so we kind of speak about the church in two different ways. We speak about how the church is visible and then how the church is invisible. So what we just said about the people who comprise the church is, in fact, invisible. You can't see a person and know whether he is truly a Christian or not just by looking at him from the outside. You can't even know that with certainty just by judging his works or listening to his public confession. Maybe he's just a really good faker. So with that regard, the church is not seen. She's invisible. But then there are some marks of the church, we call them, that are, in fact, visible, but not visible to the eye, visible to the ear, which is the organ of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and so the nature of our life as Christians is to live led by our ears, to listen for the true gospel, the true proclamation of the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Jesus Christ crucified. That we call it a visible mark of the church, but you don't actually see it with your eye. You listen for it with your ears. So the church is visible with regard to the gospel purely proclaimed and rightly taught and the sacraments correctly administered. And so there is an element to seeing the sacraments correctly administered, but again, it's still mostly seeing that with your eye. You listen for the words of institution, for instance. You listen for the pastor's declaration, take, eat, this is the body of Christ given for you. You don't see the bread and know that it is the body of Christ, but you know that by faith, and you know that by hearing that word. So you see the church with regard to her marks, the gospel rightly proclaimed, the sacraments correctly administered, but not with your eye. You see that with your ear.
The Lutheran confessions speak of these marks. I don't know if they talk about marks, but they certainly talk about these being kind of the infallible marks of the church. When you see these, you can be certain. Why is that certainty so important? Why is it important that someone know that they are actually where the true church is?
See, this is why people get offended, I think, in part. They think that it's just sort of a contest to see who has the truest church, and then you can, you know, thump your chest in pride and, you know, you can wear your "I belong to the true church" bumper sticker on the back of your car correctly. But the point of finding the true church is not about winning some kind of contest. It's about receiving the pure comfort that's only available in the gospel rightly proclaimed and the sacraments rightly administered. The point of looking for those things, the point of identifying Christ's true church by those visible or audible means, is so that you can go to bed at night certain of your salvation, because you've heard the gospel, the pure gospel, not commingled with any kind of human works. You've received the sacraments rightly administered, complete and pure, perfect gifts from Jesus to deliver into your body forgiveness of sins and faith and salvation. So the reason that finding the church matters is that the gospel matters. It is for the comfort of sinners. The reason why finding the true church matters is that the sacraments matter. They're Christ's gifts that make us his people and that sustain us as his people.
So then how do you respond to someone who says, look, it may be a good theory about having a true church, but no church has it all right. Every church has some sort of, it contains some kind of error. It's simply statistically impossible that there would be one true church that you could actually find on a real live Sunday morning with pews and pastors and everything. How do you respond?
Well, that's a good that's kind of a good gut reaction. Anywhere you go is always to be a little bit skeptical, not just to swallow everything hook, line, and sinker, but to believe that there may be error in what is being proclaimed from this pulpit when you're looking around for a church. Not once you've found a church. You don't want to have to put your critical glasses on with every Sunday morning sermon exactly, but you need to be skeptical that every church might get something wrong, and so then you look for that, and you examine everything that's taught against the crystal clear Word of God, and if you find error, then go somewhere else. But that argument doesn't hold water that, well, every church gets something wrong until you've examined every church. And I would say, take a look at the Lutheran confessions, take a look at a church where the gospel defended by the Lutheran confessions and the sacraments extolled by the Lutheran confessions, where that gospel is proclaimed and the sacraments are administered, and then tell me what's happening in that church, what's being propagated in that church, what's being taught in that church that's contrary to the Word of God. So you can say that every church has some error, but I would say that the Lutheran confessions rightly confess the truth of the Word of God. So if you find a church where they believe, teach, and confess the Word of God as contained in the Lutheran confessions, then I believe you won't find error there.
Pastor Jeff Hemmer is pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fighting Words. Jeff, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
You can, by the way, it's a rare occasion, but you can get a completely free June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find it there, and you can download it absolutely free. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University. Many people believe that privatizing marriage, that it's kind of pulling marriage into the church sanctuary, into some sort of private realm, and basically getting the government out of the marriage business is the answer, is the best way to deal with the redefinition of marriage in society. Dr. Frank Beckwith says, not so fast. We'll find out why. Tomorrow on the program, we'll also discuss pietism with Pastor David Miller. There is, in fact, a true church. Christ speaks of it. He even says, we just heard this, I think, last Sunday. He says to Peter, and in response to his great confession, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means that it's Christ's business to plant and establish and build and grow his church. And his promise holds true. His true church can be found where Christ is found preached in all his purity. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address: Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.